It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's head out to the guest line right now and continue the NFL conversation. Coming off the Super Bowl with the man that played in the NFL for 10 years as a defensive lineman, now does a kick-ass job on Sirius XM, and that is Lijae Dusabel. Lijae, how you been, my friend?
I'm good, Zach. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. So I wanted to bring you on right out of the gate to just ask you about the Eagles' defensive line. We know all throughout the year how great they were with 70 sacks in the league, but then in the Super Bowl, they had no sacks. How much do you think the field did contribute to that, or do you just view that as kind of an excuse?
That's definitely an excuse. I think you have to pay some homage and respect to what the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line did. And on CBS Sports, while previewing the Super Bowl, I said that was the one matchup to watch, right? I think it's a competitor, Zach, right? When you feel like you're a top three unit in the Chiefs, in which they are, a lot of people talked about the Eagles' offensive defensive line, but they forget that that offensive line was retooled 2 years ago after Patrick Mahomes practically got beat up by the Bucs in the Super Bowl. Andrew Wiley was kind of like the only like layover from that team. If you look at it, what they've done, they traded for Orlando Brown at left tackle. Joe Tooney, they brought him in at guard. They drafted Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey, right? So this is an offensive line that, you know, besides the Eagles O-line, and you maybe look at the Detroit's offensive line, I would say right behind those two teams, that was the next best offensive line of football. And as a competitor, you get tired of hearing about the other team when you feel like you're pretty damn good yourself. So I think they took that personal into this game, and they didn't allow a sack. And, yeah, you could say the turf, but the turf was slippery for both teams. I just think the Chiefs literally wanted to dominate the line of scrimmage, which they did, and they protected Patrick Mahomes, which they were paid to do, and they did it at an elite level on Sunday.
When you look moving forward inside the AFC, I would think the answer is still Burrow and the Bengals are the biggest challengers when you look at trying to dethrone Kansas City, and we know what Burrow and company did for three straight times up until the AFC title game. Who do you have the most confidence in after you move on from Burrow and the Bengals?
Ooh, that's a good question. So you're not putting the Chiefs in this category. You're saying
to try to dethrone them.
To dethrone them. Mm-hmm. I would say in the AFC, you would almost have to look at the team that's in the division with the Chiefs, the LA Chargers, right? Let's not forget they were up 27 points versus Jacksonville Jaguars in the wild card and just had a, you know, colossal downfall in that wild card round. Do I have a lot of faith in Brandon Staley? No, right? But I have a lot of faith in Justin Herbert. Let's not forget that this team was also beat up with injuries last year. There was parts of the year we didn't have his two top receivers. We'll see what happens with Keenan Allen. There are rumors that he could potentially be a cap cut this year. And also, their left tackle, Rashawn Slater, missed a good portion of the year, right? So, like, this is a Pro Bowl caliber tackle that, you know, Justin Herbert didn't have. Corey Linsley, a center, missed some time as well. So they just got to stay healthy. That defense, you know, at Spurs played really well, but they weren't healthy throughout the whole year. You know, Joey Bosa missed a good portion of that season as well. So that's one team. And then the team that, you know, people are starting to talk about a little bit more, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah. Honestly, I mean, Trevor Lawrence, this is the quarterback that we thought we were going to see coming out the gates, right? Urban Meyer tried his best to ruin him. Thank God Doug Peterson came in the next year and resurrected him, even though it was technically only a one-year thing. But you talk about Calvin Ridley potentially getting reinstated to a receiving core that played really well this year with Zay Jones and Christian Kirk. They're going to most likely try to sign Evan Engram back to a contract. So you talk about an explosive offense, a very young defense. They definitely got to get one more pass rusher on that side of the ball. But this is a group that has, you know, young depth at this, you know, the secondary position, young depth at the linebacker position, and they have a few pieces on defensive line. I think they need another defensive tackle or a defensive edge guy, and it could really, you know, solidify them as far as a team that could be a threat to the Bengals and the Kansas City Chiefs.
What do you think the Bills need to do? Because this was the first time this year where I said, okay, it's finally Super Bowl or bust. They did a great job building. They were there consistently, but anything short of a Super Bowl championship would be a failure. And they got bounced at home in the divisional round.
And could have got bounced in the wild card round by the Dolphins with a third string quarterback.
Skylar Thompson.
Yeah, if you look at it, right, the reason why they brought Von Miller in was to be the closer. And I don't think anybody would argue that the Bills were the best team in the league when Von Miller was on that team. But as soon as he got hurt, Zach, it just changed the whole narrative. Now, Gregory Russo was playing really well with Vaughn, but then he got banged up. He subsequently came back a week after Vaughn got hurt, and it was just never the same. Like, Leslie Frazier had to switch things up. He started blitzing more, which he routinely doesn't do. Plays a lot of that, you know, cover two, Tampa two defense. But he started switching things up because they weren't able to get the pressure because Von Miller wasn't there. Let's not also forget, earlier in that year, it was the first time that Patrick Mahomes had ever been a home underdog versus the Buffalo Bills. And what happened? The Bills beat them. And who closed that game out?
Von Miller. Yep.
Exactly. So when you lose a player like that, and then let's not also forget Jordan Poyer being banged up. You know, I believe they were like 1-3 in games he didn't play, or they didn't win games he didn't play, and they were undefeated in every other game he played except for when they lost in the divisional round to the Bengals. Not having him for a good portion of the year really hurt. Michael Hyde not being there really hurt. And then on offense, we kind of saw Josh Allen regress in regards to turning the football over, right? We kind of saw Brian Daboll kind of coach that out of him. Well, Brian Daboll left, right? He's in New York. Ken Dorsey's the coach now. And for all intents and purposes, I think a good portion of the year, and even when Brian Daboll was there, they just refused to run the football. And the crazy thing is, Zach, they average over 4.5 yards a carry, but they just refused to do it. People keep saying they need to bring a running back in. I thought Motor Singletary played really well when he got the opportunity to run the football. They just weren't consistent in running the football. The one thing you did see after that Jets game the first time, right, when Josh Allen had, I think, 3 picks or 2 picks in that game, and then, you know, got the elbow injury from Bryce Huff on that hit, he kind of took things off of Josh Allen, right? And they started running the ball consistently for 2 or 3 weeks, but then when Josh Allen was healthy again, they just stopped doing it again, and he started turning the football over again. So I think they just got to be a little bit more balanced on offense. Josh Allen just has to be better with the football. Like, you cannot turn the football over in this league and expect to win games. We saw that in the Minnesota game. We saw it in the Bengals game in the playoffs. If you turn the football over, you're going to lose games. And they got to pray that Von Miller comes back to what he was before the knee injury and that he's 100% healthy, because that was their closer. You know, to your point, I think everybody thought this was Super Bowl or bust. This team is getting older. There's going to be some impending free agents. You talk about, Tremaine Edmonds. They're going to have to make a decision on him. Jordan Poyer is a free agent. I believe Michael Hyde is, too. So they're going to have to make decisions on those guys. So you hope Von Miller comes back, but if not, you're still going to have to find another edge rusher that can be your closer.
Lijay Dusabal here with us. Week one next year, what's your prediction on who's starting for the 49ers at quarterback?
It's funny. I just had this question on CBS Sports the other day. And to me, it's Brock Purdy. Now, I think it's going to be a competition only because Brock Purdy is going to be out all offseason with the elbow surgery and most likely won't be back until the start of training camp. You traded a farm to get Trey Lance, and rightfully so. Does Brock Purdy's 7-game sample size do enough for you to go ahead and, you know, put Trey Lance on the bench permanently or make him a trade pawn? I don't know. I think if Brock Purdy is healthy and he's playing to what he did last year, I think he has to be your starter. I mean, the team believes in him. He was undefeated in the regular season when he came in, only lost in the NFC Championship game because he got hurt because of pass protection. If anything, you need to make sure you get a good right tackle. I mean, Mike McGlinchey talking about he wants to come back. I think they need to figure out what they're going to do with that position because he struggled in pass protection for them since he's been there. Now, he's a good run blocker, but he's been susceptible as far as pass protection. So no matter who your quarterback is, if you don't fix that problem at right tackle, you're going to continue to have your quarterbacks injured, because we saw them have all three of their quarterbacks injured last year. But I think it's going to be an open competition. And to me, if Brock Purdy is what he was before the injury, to me, he's your starter.
Lijay Dusabal here with us. It's a great job, CBS Sports HQ, also on Mad Dog Radio via Sirius XM. When we get to Aaron Rodgers, the last 2 years I didn't think he was going to get traded. I think it's pretty clear that they're inching closer and closer to a divorce. I'm predicting the Raiders. Where do you say that Rodgers winds up?
Yeah, and I'm kind of with you, Zach. I know a lot of Jet Nation is probably going to be mad at me for saying that. I just think if you're the Jets, right, you want some stability at the quarterback position. The thing is, if you trade for Aaron Rodgers, how do you know this is not a one-and-done situation, Zach, right? Then you're in the same situation going into the following year after having 1 year of success. I just think the familiarity with, Devontae Adams with the Raiders, him being back on the West Coast. Let's not forget this is a California kid. I think, you know, he could be wanting to go back on the West Coast. People have said they worry about Aaron Rodgers and the media. I don't think he really cares about the media, to be honest. This is a guy who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Fame. I think he could care less what the media is saying. And I know the New York media is different than Green Bay. But in all, I just don't think Aaron Rodgers cares about what the media says. To me, if you're the Jets, yes, you would want, you know, a first ballot Hall of Famer and Aaron Rodgers to come. The thing is, it's just a one-year rental. Like, what is this doing for the longevity? Like, I think with Derek Carr, at least, he's a bridge guy that could be there for 3 years, you know, as you look forward to getting your quarterback of the future. Aaron Rodgers, yes, we know the familiarity with Nathaniel Hackett as well with the Jets, right? But is this a one-year rental? You just never know, because every year Aaron Rodgers says he needs to get away and make a decision. And he's held the Packers at hostage for 3 or 4 years. Do you want to be in that same position if you're Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh? And it's a playoff or bust, right? But what if you go to the playoffs 1 year, and then what happens the following year? You got to look for a whole nother quarterback again. Honestly, I just think, to me, the Raiders are going to do whatever it takes to get Aaron Rodgers in that building, especially after letting go of a guy like Derek Carr, who's been a Pro Bowl quarterback, who's won a lot of games. I think he's second on the team in Raiders history and wins and leads them in passing yards. So if you're the Raiders, you're willing to let Derek Carr go, you're looking for a major upgrade, right? So Aaron Rodgers is the only one that comes to mind. I think the Raiders are going to try to go all in to get Aaron Rodgers.
I'm glad you bring up the media point, because I think it's irrelevant with the New York media and Rodgers. But if Carr winds up with the Jets, I know he did a heck of a job 2 years ago, but he comes off very sensitive. I think the New York media would actually eat Derek Carr alive. Like, he's an okay quarterback. I don't think he's a top 10 quarterback in this league, even though he shows some signs, but I could see the New York media really being a factor for Carr.
I don't know. Like, I would say he's the ultimate leader. You brought up what happened 2 years ago. I mean, how many other quarterbacks would have faltered in that situation, right? You lose your head coach. You have the thing with Henry Ruggs, where somebody ultimately dies in a very terrible accident. Damon Arnett is another first-round pick you have, and he's on Instagram Live with a machine gun. You have to let him and release him, right? So you talk about distractions galore, and what did Derek Carr do in that season? Kept that team together and led them to the playoffs with lesser talent. I think people tend to forget that. Like, Zay Jones got paid because of Derek Carr. Let's not forget that. He got paid in Jacksonville because of what Derek Carr did on that team, right? And Darren Waller missed a good portion of that season. Now, Hunter Renfrow was there, and he really showed up big. But even last year, like, people forget, yeah, he had Davante Adams. But Waller and Hunter Renfrow missed most of the season last year. It was a whole new offense he was learning. So, and then if you look at the defenses that Derek Carr has had to play with, he's never had a defense like the Jets have right now, right? He's never had a top-5 defense ever. Matter of fact, I believe the Raiders' defense the last decade has been voted the worst defense in NFL history. And that's what Derek Carr has had to deal with. I think they've been averaging, giving up over 26 points a game since Derek Carr has been the starter for the Raiders. It's hard to have success when you literally have to go out there and have shootouts and win every game. So I think the Jets situation makes a lot more sense, because it won't be all on Derek Carr, right? He can lean on that defense. Hopefully Breece Hall comes back healthy. He can lean on Breece Hall. He's got an offensive rookie of the year in Garrett Wilson. Elijah Vera Tucker is one of the best young offensive linemen in football. But again, Zach, he can lean on that top-5 defense.
I kind of feel like it's going to be Jimmy G with the Jets. I know it's not sexy, but he's a game manager.
I've kind of come to that assumption, too. I think they'll be in the running for Derek Carr. I just think Derek Carr's familiarity and trust factor with Dennis Allen may, you know, override him coming to the Jets. And I love Jimmy. Jimmy's my teammate. And Jimmy will tell you this himself. He's got to stay healthy, man. I think he's a good quarterback. He hasn't been available.
Wrap it up, Olijay Duzabal. When you look back at the Super Bowl, outside of the offensive line, and we talked about that and what they did up against the Eagles' defense, mm-hmm. What was your biggest takeaway from the game?
Jalen Hurts has arrived. I mean, I think people have kind of lost this in translation because they ended up losing the game. But he was the best player on that field, Zach. He
Agreed.
Was better than Patrick Mahomes. He was better than Isaiah Pacheco. He was better than Travis Kelce, better than A.J. Brown. He was the best player on the field Sunday. And I think any questions that people had, and even Patrick Mahomes came out and said that, he killed all that noise. Like, I literally said this all week long. I said, I know Steve Spagnuolo, played for him. he is going to refuse to let the Eagles beat him in the run game, right? Jalen Hurts went out there and threw for 300 yards and still rushed for 70. He had almost 400
rushing touchdowns
of total offense. Like, this dude was electric. And, yes, I know he did have the fumble, but what made me so proud, Zach, was how he bounced back with poise after that. It was like the fumble never happened. And shout out to Shane Steichen. First play after the fumble, what they do? Draw it up quarterback run just to get him comfortable in the game again. I mean, that third and 14 throw to Dallas Goedert on the out route, there hasn't been a more perfect throw this year in the NFL. Literally, I thought that was getting picked off, but he put it where only Dallas Goedert could get it. On a big time down, third and 14, he was throwing absolute dimes in the RPO game. Took some shots down the field. I thought that was one of the things I highlighted as a storyline. I thought he was going to have to complete some of those one-on-one situations down the field to really get Kansas City out of those looks as far as stacking the box. And he did that. We saw him complete passes down the field to Devontae Smith, right? We saw him take shots and intermediate routes to A.J. Brown. Dallas Goedert got in the game. I mean, anything that Jalen Hurts wanted to do, he did, and nobody could stop him.
Last thing I'll ask you, because you brought up Steichen and Gannon, it's another hiring cycle, Eric Bieniemy does not get a head coaching job. It's not surprising to me because it's just been that way the last few years. The last 2 years, I kind of expect him not to get a job. Do you believe that notion that he needs to leave the Chiefs in order to be a head coach one day in the NFL?
That's hogwash. There's been so many coaches that didn't actually call plays that have been head coaches. It's nonsense. I would love for NFL owners to come out and explain why they haven't hired him. I mean, I think that should be a prerequisite that the league demands, right? Or because we know the Brian Flores suit is out there, like they should, I don't want to say you should have to give a reasoning why you went with one guy or another, because I think that's a bit extra. But it's weird. Like you said, Zach, like what does this guy have to do to get a head coaching job? Like he's been an integral part of what the Kansas City Chiefs have done, right? He's been the offensive coordinator there forever. And I feel like, as a black coach, why does he have to go somewhere else to prove that he can call the plays? Even though he calls a few, he doesn't call them all. Like, there's been plenty of coaches that didn't call plays and they got head coaching jobs. I believe Andy Reid might have even been one of them when he got the job in Philly. So it's like, it's just crazy to think that this guy has to lower himself to make a lateral move, right? He's not even elevating. He's making a lateral move just to show everybody, look, I can be a good offensive coordinator and call plays and be a good head coach. It's just crazy.
It is, but I kind of feel like he's going to have to do that. As stupid as that is, because he should have a job by now, I kind of feel like he has to go to a team like the Commanders where we know he's doing everything on the offense side of the ball. Because I hate to say it, the name has and the conversation, I don't want to say it got stale, but I just don't expect him to get a job now because that's what we've seen the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, Stephen A. brought up a good point in First Take. He was like, and he's not saying this is Andy Reid's fault, right? But it's like, he blames Andy Reid because Andy Reid kind of makes it known that he calls a lot of the plays, right? So it's like, so our head coach, you know, owner's looking at that and saying, well, he's just, you know, part of a really good staff. Is he technically calling the plays, right?
Well, like, I'll just say this. What did Sirianni do? And he's done a great job in Philly, but what did he do in Indianapolis?
Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah.
There's plenty of coaches that didn't call plays that were great offensive-minded head coaches.
Yep.
And it seems like Shane Steichen said he's going to call plays. I can't wait to see how that pans out because one thing that I think Nick Sirianni did, and I think a lot of people remember his first press conference, and like, oh, this guy's not going to last more than 2 years, right? Because he fumbled that opening press conference. He delegated really well. Mm-hmm. Look at this. Both of his coordinators got head coaching jobs. He never tried to overstep on Steichen. He let him call plays, right? He let Jonathan Gannon do his thing. And look at these guys. They both are going to be head coaches. So, like, that's the thing, right? You can be an offensive genius all you want, Zach. When you're a head coach, it's about delegating and knowing that and trusting the people that you hired, and then also being a great leader of men. And, you know, that story hasn't been written for Gannon or Steichen. It'll come to fruition soon, and we'll see if they, you know, are great in delegating. And also, can they lead grown men? You know, because the NFL, when you're a coordinator to a head coach, it's a totally different ballgame.
Yeah, it's a totally different jump. There's no doubt about that. Lijay Duzabal, thanks so much. We appreciate the insight as always.
Of course.